Well, good morning to you. It is so good to see you. Welcome again to our new building here. We are so thankful for the Lord's provision, giving us this new space. He has been so good to us as a church through the years as we've wandered from place to place, and we thank God to have a more permanent place here. And thank you to those of you this week who all of you who did a deep cleaning on our building. I know many of you were in the bathrooms and all kinds of places here cleaning, and we just thank you. That is a labor of love. And as we celebrate the new space, we'd also just ask for your patience. We have plans for remodeling. We're working with architects. So as you hear this speaker over here distorting, please be patient. Sorry about that. I will someday be preaching on a platform again when it doesn't look like it's about 100 feet back and about 30 feet high. So it's going to happen over the coming months. Thank you for your patience. But man, what a joy it is to be here. If you have a Bible this morning, please turn to the letter of 2 Timothy. We'll be reading this morning 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 1 and reading through verse 4. 2 Timothy 4, 1. We'll start reading in just a few minutes here. As we settle in now to this new space and this new area, I want to just take a second here to kind of let you know some things that are coming in the days ahead. We have a few weeks here in July when our church will remain a little bit more under the radar, probably in this new community, until August 1st, the Night to Unite. Our outreach team is planning, as you've already heard, this Saturday to invite the surrounding community. You are invited to help with that Saturday morning to go out into the community to invite people to the Night to Unite on August 1st, where our outreach team has planned for some really great food and music and things for the kids. It will just be a great opportunity for us as a church to begin to connect with the people around us here. And we are then planning, most likely in September, for a public launch of our church. And that will be the time when we will actually then start to invite the surrounding community to our services. So we have a few weeks here in July before all that gets going on to kind of settle in and get ready for what lies ahead. And on these Sundays here in July, when it is still basically our own church here, we thought it would be good to lay out some simple instructions or directions for us as a church, thinking over the next couple of weeks along the lines of, so what do we do now? Here we are after a lot of work to transition. We've landed in this new space now. As a church, what do we focus on? What do we aim to do? And we do believe that God has some simple instructions for us as a church, some basic marching orders, if you will, things for us to do now in these initial days, but also then things for us to do in the years to come. So over the next three Sundays, we'll be looking at just three very simple instructions from God that we believe He has for us now and always as a church. And the first instruction from God that we're going to look at today, one thing we believe God is calling us to do as a church, no matter where we are, preach the word. And we find that instruction here in this text in 2 Timothy. This letter was written by Paul to Timothy, his younger disciple and ministry partner. Paul, when he wrote this, was in prison, most likely in his final prison term in the city of Rome, out of which he would not ever be released. Paul knew at this point that he was heading quickly towards an execution. Most scholars believe that this was the last letter that Paul wrote, or it is at least his last biblical letter that he wrote, his farewell letter. And that means that in this text that we're going to read near the end of 2 Timothy, these are some of the Apostle Paul's final words to Timothy and to the churches, written just a few weeks or maybe even days before his beheading. So let's pray and then we'll read. Our Father, we do just thank you as we just sang. We thank you for ancient words that are hidden in your scriptures. We thank you for them. We do trust, Father, that you work through these ancient words, the Holy Spirit working upon the scriptures to glorify you and to do good in our hearts. And so we turn to your scriptures now. We turn to you, Father, and ask for your help here in the name of Jesus. Amen. 2 Timothy 4, starting in verse 1, Paul says to Timothy, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. We see two primary things in this text that we're going to look at this morning, the two points that we'll cover here this morning. We see here, number one, a solemn charge, and number two, a subtle wandering. And the first thing Paul gives us here, number one, a solemn charge. If you look again at verse one, Paul, with some of his final words on planet Earth at this point in his life, says, I charge you, Timothy. The Greek word there, underlying, I charge you, it was a word that was used only four times by the Apostle Paul in the Bible, and it always has this sense of a very solemn warning or a stern admonition. It was basically Paul's way of saying, I cannot impress this on you too strongly. I solemnly charge you. I call you to do this. But here, before Paul actually tells Timothy what he's charging him to do, well, Paul first here heightens the importance or the solemnity of what he's actually going to tell him to do. If you look again at verse 1, he says, I charge you, Timothy, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. He just loads up with these little phrases, and those phrases are what we might call intensifications or amplifications, amplifiers. They are intended by Paul to amplify the importance or the solemnity of everything that will follow. I charge you, Paul says there, in the presence of God and of Christ. Or I charge you, Timothy, in God's presence or in whose presence you now live, the one who is now watching you, Timothy, at all times, in the presence of Christ, he says, who will appear. In the future, coming again, as the scriptures say, on the clouds in power. And this Christ, Paul says, who will establish his kingdom then, and who will judge the living and the dead. Or, Timothy, this Christ who will come and judge you for your faithfulness to him in light of all these things, Timothy. At the end of my life, some of my final words, I solemnly charge you to do what? Look at verse 2. Preach the word. One writer said this about Paul's words. He said, quote, "This is Paul's moment of whatever else you might miss, Timothy, don't miss this. This charge can't get any larger. The stakes can't get any higher. This is the emotional apex of this entire letter. These are Paul's last recorded words in this letter, Paul's final flourish to Timothy and to the world. And at the heart of it, as the climax of the letter, is just three words: preach the word." And just before this text, Paul said several things about the word, or the word of God, or the scriptures. If you look back at chapter 3, verse 15, Paul had just said to Timothy, "From childhood, Timothy, you have been acquainted, or you have known from childhood, the sacred writings," or scriptures, "which scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God," or ultimately came from God, "and therefore it is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man or the woman of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." Or, in other words, these scriptures, Timothy, they are fully sufficient to bring a person to salvation and also then to full spiritual maturity in and through Christ Jesus. And Paul then, after saying those things about the scriptures, he now concludes this entire section with this solemn charge: therefore, Timothy, preach the word. The Greek word for preach there, it means to proclaim, or to herald, or to declare some news. And the idea there is kind of like a town crier in the past. If you know your history, before TV, before newspapers, before the internet, the news would pass through a local town by way of a town crier. Somebody who would stand on some street corner in the middle of the town. He might ring a bell. He would call out, "Hear ye, hear ye," and he would then proclaim some news, which is basically what it means to preach. You proclaim, or you herald, or declare, or share some news. And what news exactly does Paul tell Timothy here to preach? The word, or the scriptures, which is just a fantastic reminder for all preachers like me. Those who step into any pulpit in a Christian church on a Sunday morning, we are called by God to preach a certain content. I am not called by God to just talk about personal stories, or to just tell jokes, or talk about cultural events, or just talk about politics. I, along with any other preacher, is called by God to preach the word. True preaching, in the eyes of God, is the expounding of this book. That is preaching. On July 13th, 1980, John Piper preached his first sermon as a pastor. And in that message, he quoted from a longtime pastor, W.A. Criswell, who said this, quote, "When a man goes to a church service, he often hears a preacher in the pulpit rehash everything he has read in the newspapers and magazines. And on the TV, he hears that same stuff over again, yawns, and goes out and plays golf on Sunday. When a man comes to a church service, actually what he is saying to you is this, preacher, I know what the TV has to say. I know what the newspaper has to say, but what I want to know is, does God have anything to say?" We are called by God to say what God says, to preach the word. But we can be more specific than that, because it's not just the preaching of the word in general that has the power to change a person, but the preaching of a Christ-centered word. If you look again up at 2 Timothy 3:15, Paul said, "From childhood, Timothy, you've been acquainted with the sacred writings or scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ." Because this book is all ultimately about Christ, who is the central hero of the entire book. This entire book, the Bible, is the gospel. The Bible is the good news of what God has done and what God is doing in and through Christ Jesus to save sinners and to restore this broken universe. This book tells us of a Savior who entered a fallen planet, who then lived and died and rose again so that sinners like you and me, through a simple faith in Him, might be saved. This Savior who, the Bible says, will come back again to ultimately restore this broken universe so that all who now trust in Him might live with Him forever. So we don't just preach stories or tell jokes or talk about public opinion or talk politics, but we preach the scriptures. But we preach the scriptures all connected to Christ, the one true hero. And this Christ-centered word is extremely powerful. Paul said in chapter 3 that these scriptures are all breathed out by God and are profitable. Or this right here. This is somehow powerful, as Paul said, for teaching, for reproof, for correction and training in righteousness, so that we might be complete and equipped in God, in Christ, for every good work. God works through His word to both save and to sanctify. Or, in other words, God brings a person to Christ and also matures that person in Christ in and through the scriptures. Which is why Paul here, with some of his final words on earth, gives this very solemn charge, preach the word. But here's the thing. That is not just for every preacher on Sunday, but it is also, in some sense, for every believer. That we who follow Christ, that we would feed on the scriptures daily and share the scriptures as appropriate with other Christians, with one another, and with non-Christians. Colossians 3:16, Paul said, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, Christian, teaching and admonishing one another." Or you, Christian, you first feed on the scriptures so that it dwells in you richly. Thomas Cranmer, who was the Archbishop of Canterbury back in the 1500s, almost 500 years ago, more than that now, prayed a prayer that has remained in Christian circles for a long time. He prayed, "Blessed Lord, who has caused all the Holy Scriptures to be written for our learning, grant now that we may hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them. So that you, Christian, might be shaped by the gospel word, the word of Christ dwelling in you richly." But then it's more than that, because Paul said there, Colossians 3, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another." Or you feed on the word and then share this word as appropriate with other people. So we all, as Christians, in some sense, we are all called by God to preach or to share this word to our kids, to other believers, and to those who don't yet know Christ when appropriate. John Stott said Paul's charge here is addressed in the first instance to Timothy and to all people who are called to some form of pastoral or evangelistic ministry, but it is applicable in a secondary sense to all Christian people. God's call here to preach the word. And Paul, he then gives us a few guidelines here as to how we should preach or share the word. If you look at verse 2, preach a word, and then he follows up with several commands here. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Be ready, Paul says, or be alert to preach the word in and out of season. Or that could be translated as be ready to preach the word when it is convenient and when it is inconvenient. Or when it is appropriate, Christian, whether you feel like it or not, preach or share the word. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort, Paul says. Which probably means, in one sense, that when we do preach or share the word, and we preach or share all of this word, or the whole counsel of God's word, it will do those things. The scriptures over time, if you follow through them, they will reprove you, or they will correct or expose your sin. The scriptures over time, they will rebuke you. They will call you to repent or to change. And the word over time, in many places, it will also exhort you. Or it will encourage, or it will comfort you. And all of that done in and through Christ Jesus. The scriptures reproving and rebuking and exhorting. Or I think we could look at those words like this. God, working through this word over time, He will speak some very tender things to you. And He will speak some very tough things to you. And a true and full preaching or sharing the whole counsel of God's word, it will do both of those things, both tender and tough. John Calvin, also back in the 1500s, who was a reformer along with Cranmer, back in those days, John Calvin once said that a preacher needs two voices. One for gathering the sheep, comforting or encouraging the sheep on many occasions, and another voice for driving away the wolves and the thieves, or for confronting and correcting and reproving and rebuking. And this word in its entirety will do all of that. And yet Paul adds at the end of verse 2 there, all of our preaching or all of our sharing of the word, whatever that might look like, he says that it should be done with complete patience and teaching. Or patient with all people at all times and with complete teaching or training in the fundamental truths of the Christian faith. And you just pause there for a second. I mean, you just see there for Paul the critical importance of this preaching of the word. And not just for Timothy then, but for every preacher, for every Christian, and for every church. And as we now settle into this new building, really thankful for it, as we settle in to this new area, we do feel that God has been impressing on us again that very simple instruction. What do we do now as a church? What do we focus on now and in the future? Well, among other things, preach the word. From this pulpit on Sundays, my prayer is that as long as this church is in existence, from this pulpit, or Lord willing, from this pulpit up here, at some point, these scriptures would be proclaimed, heralded, declared, and the whole counsel of God's word. But not just on Sundays, but throughout the week, with one another, with others in this area, or your neighbors, if you live in Woodbury or in Wisconsin, whoever it is, when appropriate, sharing those Christ-centered words of God. And you know, that is one way that we as a church can be a city on a hill, a light on a stand, as we radiate the Christ-centered word. And listen, that right there is becoming just increasingly important now in this country. You know, over the past 3 or 4 years or so, we have seen just huge changes in our country. After that initial COVID lockdown, we really kind of woke up to this different world. And ever since that very first Sunday, when we, because of COVID, we couldn't meet, but we had to live stream, I remember that happening. It was the middle of the week. I think we actually canceled one service. I can't remember, but we rallied, got a live stream going. We weren't meeting. I knew I was going to be preaching to one camera in the back of a room. I knew the Lord said to me, Brett, preach the word. That's it. Preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. And with all of the following chaos and the complexities that we woke up to coming out of that COVID season, that is what I feel that I have heard more and more and more. Preach the word. Just get into the scriptures and preach. And we may err in a lot of ways as a local church, man. We've made mistakes. We've done things wrong. We haven't done things perfectly. But one thing we have aimed to do is to preach the word. And I know that is what God has been telling us. And I've just continued to have this growing sense that God has been whispering to me, and I think for our church, preach the word. And really, in the history of this country, There has maybe never been a time when it has been so critical for pastors, for churches, for Christians to preach the whole counsel of God's word. And as we move forward as a church in this new building, new area, I believe there's one thing God is calling us to focus on. I think that's one reason why God moved us here, to preach, to share, to radiate that Christ-centered word. I do think that has been one of the strengths of our church, and I believe God is calling us, if you will, to double down on the preaching of the word, that we now, as a people, as a body, would renew our commitment to preach the word, which will not always be popular. We live in a society now that believes to some degree you should never really correct or confront. You should never really hurt another person's feelings. But God's word will at times hurt your feelings. It just will. As God corrects and reproves and rebukes you, not because God hates you, but because God loves you enough to tell you the truth. And God instructs us there as a church to hold fast to this full orb preaching or sharing of this powerful, life-giving, Christ-centered word. So that's one thing we see in this text, a solemn charge to preach or to share the word. And a second thing then, number two, we see here a subtle wandering. Or Paul now tells us why we need to preach the word, because many people, he says, will wander away from the word to other things. Paul just told Timothy there in verse 2 to preach the word. Then look at verse 3. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. So Paul, from his perspective there, a couple thousand years ago, he was foreseeing this time to come in the future, but that time had really already arrived in Paul's day because he's telling Timothy here how to deal with it. But Paul knew that this time would just get worse and worse and worse in the future. This time, Paul says, when people would no longer endure or would no longer tolerate sound or healthy teaching or instruction. Or, as one writer paraphrased it, people would have no stomach for solid teaching, for that meaty, solid substance of God's word. And Paul says here that people would turn instead to other things. If you look at the end of verse 3, people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. It's a strange saying, people have itching ears. I mean, I see some of you itching your ears this morning. Does that put you in this camp here? Itching ears in those days, Paul simply meant there that people would have this growing curiosity or this growing yearning to hear something new or something novel. Or as one translation says, they would just want their ears tickled. That's an interesting picture. If you think about your ears were designed by God to receive words in, deep into the inner parts of your being. But those, Paul is saying, who will not endure sound teaching, they do not want words that actually pierce or that actually go deep and challenge and truly shape you, but they just want some light and superficial words or some new and interesting, entertaining words on the surface of their ears. And because Paul says there people would have these itching ears, they would accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions or desires. Or people would amass all kinds of so-called preachers and teachers who would simply tell them what they want to hear. It's like in the Old Testament scriptures when they would constantly try to get prophets to come in and just tell them peaceful things. Just tell us what we want to hear. And God's true prophets would say, no, I will tell you what God says. But there would be this problem Paul sees of this amassing of all kinds of preachers and teachers who just tell people what they want to hear, no stomach for solid teaching, so they would just find people to fill them with junk food, basically, to suit their own desires, Paul says. And Paul says they would turn away from listening to the truth, this powerful, life-giving, reproving, rebuking, exhorting, Christ-centered word, and they would wander off, Paul says, into myths, fables, or stories, or nonsense. And, you know, it's important there to notice who Paul was talking about. Paul was not talking there primarily, he's not saying there primarily that this would be non-Christians who would do it. But it would be professing believers or churches. Because the implication there is that it was people who would have listened to the truth for a time, but then lost their stomach for that and wandered off to other things. Thomas Lee says, Paul gave a stern charge here to Timothy to declare the truth, because even professing Christendom would increase its appetite for error rather than for truth. And if you, again, just kind of pause on that and just kind of put that into our context today, this world in which we now live, do you realize now that all around us at this time, there is this rapidly growing pressure on Christians and on churches to turn away from God's word? Maybe not to turn away from all of God's word, but to turn away from parts of God's word. Because there is a growing number of people in this world now who just hate some of what God says in his word. They hate maybe what this word says about God and his creation, and his sovereignty, and his claim on us as his created beings. Or they hate maybe what this word says about humanity. That we are sinners. That we will be judged. Or they hate maybe some of the things this word says about homosexuality, or transgenderism, or abortion, or the roles of male and female. There are parts of this word which are becoming increasingly unpalatable to many people, which is now exerting this tremendous pressure on Christians and on churches to turn away from God's word, or to turn away from parts of God's word. And I think one of the overwhelming questions now is this. With this growing pressure now all around us, and really pressure against God's word, will we hold fast to the whole counsel of God's word and continue, come hell or high water, as we might say, to say what God says? Or will we cave and begin to wander away and maybe trim the word or change the word or just pick and choose in the word to make it more palatable to suit the passions or the desires of the people around us? And sadly, there are some churches in the face of this pressure that have started to cave, wandering from the truth, which is simply fatal in the long run. Because as Paul said up in 2 Timothy 3, it is these scriptures which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And you lose these scriptures and you just lost the way of salvation in and through Christ Jesus. As one writer says, a healthy teaching formed and shaped by the gospel of Jesus Christ produces healthy spiritual lives. And bad teaching is not just false, but unhealthy. It has bad effects. It ruins lives. So Paul, in this text, at just the very end of his life, some of his final words, he gives this solemn charge, number one, to preach the word. Because Paul knew, number two, that as time went on, there would be this subtle wandering from the truth of God's word. And as we now as a church enjoy a new building and settle in to this area, we do believe that is one instruction, one direction that God has given to us, a little bit of basic marching orders, you will, for our days now and our days to come. Christ Redeemer Church, whatever else you may do, it feels God is saying, whatever you do now and in the years to come, no matter what pressures you may face, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. And the beautiful thing is even that, even though there are people who might despise us for preaching a Christ-centered, full counsel word, God will reward us. Luke 6:22, Jesus said, "Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you and when they revile you and they spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man, or they do all of those things to you because you are proclaiming a Christ-centered word." And Jesus says there, rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. So man, now and for as long as the Lord keeps this church alive, may we set our eyes on God, on the Lord Jesus Christ, and may he give us grace and strength in the face of any pressure to preach the word for his glory and for the good of many. So Lord, we do just submit ourselves to you now as a church. It felt significant to me this week, in one of our first Sundays here, to look at this text and to hear your charge to us, to your people, saying, preach the word. And Father, we will, I know at some point, as you will, we will dedicate this building in the next couple months or so. But even before we do that, Father, pray you would drive it in our hearts that as long as we use this building, as long as we are in the East Metro here in Minnesota or out into Wisconsin, wherever we live, Father, may we as a people be reminded daily that we are called by you to preach or share the word. And we thank you, Father, that you reward your people generously in and through Christ. We thank you in his name. Amen.